Hello and welcome to you all. We hope you are somewhere warm and comfortable to listen to this week's edition of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talking newspaper. This edition is number 1843 and is being read on Tuesday the 22nd of October 2024 at the Dissenters Hall in Sidmouth. I'm Kimmy Thompson and I am the editor for this week with readers Simon Card, Sue Ball, June Brown and Diana Crowther. Now to the news. Part one starts with Simon, bringing you news from Sidmouth. Sue, with news from Ottery St Mary, followed by June and Diana from Seaton and Honiton, respectively. So, let's begin with Simon.
Hello, this is Simon with news from Sidmouth. The air show is key to the regatta. Sidmouth Town Council has discussed the future of Sidmouth Regatta 2025 at the latest Town Council meeting. Taking place on Monday, October the 5th, Sidmouth Regatta Review members considered the Sidmouth Regatta Review report and the recommendations which could see Sidmouth Air Show, part of the Regatta Week, end take place in 2025. The review board said that Sidmouth Regatta was of value to the town and very popular with residents. The minutes of the meeting said, taking into consideration the value of Sidmouth Regatta to the town and its popularity among residents, the annual air show continues to be the central event of the Sidmouth Regatta weekend for the next 5 years, with a commitment to continued on sustainability and improvement subject to holding a review of future and ongoing air shows in 2028. The second recommendation made was that the Town Council works with the event organising team and others to reduce the carbon impact of visitor numbers. The third was that the additional revenue and sponsorship for the event to be explored, together with further rejuvenation of the land and sea elements of the regatta. The fourth was at the Town Council to maximise the opportunities presented by the large number of visitors attracted to the event. The last recommendation was that Council officers, particularly the Project and Services Delivery Officer, be thanked for their thorough report. In August, after the regatta took place, the Town Council announced that the air show would return for 2025. Councillor Ian Barlow, organiser of the Sidmouth Regatta, says next year may include a return to the air show. A popular feature of the regatta sees displays from the Red Arrows and other air displays. He added after the regatta, our thanks to all the community groups who worked so hard and came together to organise this year's Sidmouth Regatta weekend. Although the weather and water conditions were not optimal and meant cancellation of some events, those that were able to go ahead were well supported, particularly the Saturday evening entertainment at Port Royal with the fireworks. We look forward to the return of the event next year, together with the Sidmouth Regatta Air Show. Narrow loss. Sidmouth Rugby Club's first team narrowly lost 25-20 to Matson, despite leading at half-time. Debutant fly half James Doherty made an impressive kick from the halfway line just 5 minutes in, giving Sidmouth a really early lead. However, Matson responded with an unconverted try from their right winger. Sidmouth quickly regained the lead through Rory O'Brien, who sprinted in from the halfway line. Sean Moulton drove over for a try, which Doherty converted, giving Sidmouth a 17-5 advantage at half-time. Sidmouth pressed inside Matson's 22, but lost their chance due to a knock-on. Matson capitalised on their five-metre scrum, with their scrum half finding a gap to score an unconverted try. Matson took control of the game, scoring two more tries, one from a forward who dived over the line from a line-out maul, and another from a flanker who made a strong run from halfway into Sidmouth's 22. A penalty extended Matson's lead to 8 points. Doherty's late penalty provided Sidmouth with a consolation bonus point. The Legion meets. The Royal British Legion is set to hold its annual general meeting next month. The Sidmouth branch is set to hold its AGM on Thursday, November the 7th at 11 a.m. The event will be held at the Sidmouth Conservative Club. To attend, people must be members of the Legion and have their up-to-date membership cards with them. Members can submit questions up to 5 days before the meeting to the chairman, Reverend Megan Belfield, the address being m.belfield80@gmail.com. The Royal British Legion provides financial, social and emotional support to members and veterans of the British Armed Forces, their families and dependents. The charity was established in 1921, first created to support those who'd served in World War I. It has since expanded its role to assist all service personnel from subsequent conflicts as well as their families. His Majesty the King is the Royal Patron of the charity. Sidmouth Nursing Home is the gold standard for care. A nursing home has been recognised for its excellent end-of-life care. Sidmouth Nursing Home was awarded the National Gold Standards Award Framework Quality Hallmark Award at the GSF Annual Conference and Awards Ceremony. The event, which took place in September the 27th at BMA House in London, celebrates the UK's exceptional health and social care providers for care in the final year of life. Sidmouth Nursing Home is one of 140 organisations from across the country to receive the award, including 98 care homes, one primary care team, 5 domiciliary care agencies, 8 retirement villages, 1 prison health care award, and 27 hospital awards. Manager Sharon John said, "We are deeply honoured and humbled to receive the Gold Standard Framework Award for the second time. This recognition reflects the hard work, commitment and compassion of the whole team who have been part of this journey. The award is a testament of the teamwork, dedication and shared vision that has guided us in improving the quality of the life of the people we serve." And now a rather sad story. Dog drowns in fast-flowing river amid alert. A dog has drowned in the River Sid on the Byes, according to a tragic warning shared by a member of the Sidmouth community. The warning shared to Sidmouth Community for the People Facebook group on Wednesday, October the 16th reads, "A dog has just drowned in the River Sid in the Byes. Please don't let your dogs go in when the river is fast flowing and high. Even dogs who are good swimmers can get into trouble. It was very traumatic." The post was met with hundreds of comments of support for the dog's owner, with one local writing, "The river is so high at the moment, such an easy oversight to let any dog off the lead in the Byes. What a tragedy, so sorry." Sidmouth was at low risk of flooding on Wednesday, October the 16th, Met Office and Environment Agency stated. A general flood alert, not a flood warning, for possible flooding, covered the River Otter, Sid and the Exmouth area. Advice from the PDSA states, "If your dog or anyone else's gets into trouble in the water, don't attempt to go in after him. Ring 999 instead and get help from the professionals."
Hello, this is Sue with news from Ottery. Residents have their say on the future of the town. A consultation event gathered more than 40 residents and business owners to discuss the enhancement of Ottery Town Centre. The Town Council is now inviting residents and business owners to have their say on the proposals for the future development of the town centre. The plans focus on a range of enhancements aimed at improving the area's appeal and functionality and fostering a stronger community spirit. The public event will take place on Wednesday, October the 23rd from 4 till 7 at the council offices on Broad Street. Residents who are unable to attend the consultation event will have the chance to review the information boards at the Ottery St Mary Town offices from October the 24th to the 31st. The plan set in motion by the council in 2023 aimed to improve traffic flow, safety and environmental impact. The first step in this initiative was a comprehensive traffic study conducted by consultants. Following this, the Town Council, in collaboration with Calidus Transport and Engineering Limited and Nash Partnership, organised the event. The turnout exceeded expectations, with attendees offering a wide variety of comments and suggestions. Kerry Kennell, the Town Clerk, expressed her satisfaction with the event's success. She said, "We were unsure of the attendance, but the council meeting room was busy from start to finish. I'm very pleased with the wide range of comments and suggestions made, and I'm confident that our consultants will be able to take these away and produce a comprehensive plan to put before the council." The sentiment was echoed by Robert Spriggs of Calidus Transport and Engineering. He said, "The event went well, attended by a broad range of local interests. Many views were ranging from thoughts on straight transport matters to local level transport issues." Councillor John Green, chair of the EDLC committee, said, "We are looking forward to meeting residents and business owners, listening to feedback on the initial designs and ideas. The feedback from the consultation event will be used to finalise the plans for Ottery. The information gathered during the consultation events will play a significant role in shaping the town's transport study, a key element of the neighbourhood plan." Ottery on top. Ottery St Mary pulled off the result of the day in the Devon League by inflicting only the second defeat of the season on the University of Exeter, writes John Davis. "It was a hard-working, disciplined performance from the Otters, who soaked up plenty of pressure, especially in the second half, and were always dangerous, hitting the students on the break." Both goals came from Seb Cope, first following good work from Ethan Matthews, and the second involving both Matthews and Jake Williams. University had plenty of possession after the break, but Ottery, with Sam Pine prominent in midfield, defended in depth and restricted them to ineffective long-range shooting. Goal-scoring hero Kopp picked up Man of the Match award. Butler Salterton, still without their first full squad of players, were caught cold at Elmore when they lost 3-1. It finished all square at 1-1 at the first break, although Beer Albion had enough chances in the second half to have taken all 3 points from fourth-placed Topsham Town. New store. Abbott's DIY, a hardware store based in Ottery St Mary, are the new tenant of the former Boots store in Woolbrook Road. Announcing the news on Facebook on Wednesday, October 16th, they say they were delighted to announce that we will be opening a new store in Sidmouth. They are a family business of 45 years serving Ottery and Seaton to both trade and retail customers, selling traditional DIY and hardware products, including paint, timber, tools, ironmongery, plumbing and electrical, as well as Dulux paint, mixing and farrow and bore, and offering all the usual services including tool hire, key cutting, rug doctor, tool sharpening and free local delivery. Opening in 2008 at their flagship store in Seaton, Ottery St Mary's store in Jesu Street is now their main shop. Young players' new kits. A house builder has donated £1,000 to a youth football club for new kits. Ottery St Mary Youth Football Club, a club with almost 200 children aged between 7 and 18, was the latest recipient of Persimmon Homes Southwest Community Champions Scheme. The scheme donates thousands of pounds every year to good causes and valued organisations throughout the South West. The club has 10 mixed teams playing in the Exeter and District Youth League, as well as 3 dedicated girls teams at under 16, 14 and 12 who compete in the Devon Girls League. Persimmon currently has properties for sale at 2 sites in the area. 3 and 4 bed homes are available to purchase from £249,995 at Cherrywood Grange in Tithe Barn and Galileo at Cranbrook, with 5-bed properties also for sale at the former. Other beneficiaries of the House Builders Community Champions Programme include Royal Devon Hospitals Charity, Cranbrook Town Council and Broadclist Youth Football Club. Spooky Dashand Gathering. Cold Harbour Field Kitchen is set to host its second Dashand Gathering. The event, titled Spooky Sausage Saturday, will see Dashands attend in their best Halloween outfits. The event will take place on October 26th, an early Halloween celebration for the sausage dogs. After the success of the first sausage dog meetup in August, the Field Kitchen is excited to welcome the Dashands and their owners for a second time. Beth Ashfield, co-owner of the Field Kitchen and a proud sausage dog owner, said, "Given the time of year, we are hoping that lots of the sausages will come dressed in their best Halloween outfits. I'm thinking bats, wizards, spiders and ghosts. The spookier, the better." Cold Harbour's resident Dashand Cross Jack Russell, Nellie Barker, is also set to join the event in her pumpkin outfit.
Hello, this is June reading the news from Seaton. Seaton Market returns. Seaton recently hosted its first market in around 6 years, and it was a huge success, breathing new life into the town. Traders were thrilled, with many commenting on how amazing it was to see Seaton so busy. One trader said, "The buzz you felt walking into Windsor Gardens was great." A spokesperson for the market said, "It wasn't just the stalls that made the day special. The atmosphere, with locals sitting on benches, catching up with neighbours they hadn't seen in a while, created a real sense of community. The weather was also on our side, making for a thoroughly enjoyable day." The market featured 10 stalls, delivering a mixture of local products. Shop traders also reported increased footfall and sales, confirming that events like this are both a benefit for stallholders and a welcome boost for the town's high street. The market spokesperson added, "The success of this market has inspired us to push forward with bigger plans. The next market will feature 15 stalls, and we're already building a list of traders to expand further. Long term, the Chamber's goal is to host more than one market a month and establish Seaton as a popular destination for both visitors and residents. As well as the commercial benefits, the markets are a great way to celebrate the town, particularly the top end, which often gets overlooked. By drawing in locals and visitors, we hope to showcase Seaton's unique shops and encourage people to explore all the town has to offer, helping our businesses thrive. The next market promises to be even bigger and better, so come along, support local traders and enjoy the friendly community atmosphere that's become a hallmark of these events. Whether you're a visitor or a resident, there's something for everyone."
Hello, this is Diana reading news from Honiton. Honiton win to progress in League's Cup. The Cornish air certainly suited Honiton Town, who made the long trip to Dobwells near Liscard, where they won 3-1 to progress to the last 16 of the Walter Parsons League Cup, writes John Davis. Cheered by a vocal travelling supporters, Honiton opened strongly without being able to add the finishing touch. Dominance paid off in the 33rd minute, though, when Carl Howard got in behind the Dobwells defence and rounded the goalkeeper before scoring. A slick move just before the break produced a second goal, Howell and Jordan Harris combining to set up Joe Chamberlain, who slid in to score. The second half started more evenly, although the Hippos almost went further ahead when an effort from Aaron Pearce from the edge of the box crashed against the crossbar. Dan Tate did pull one back for the home side just past the hour, but it was Honiton who had the final word when a free kick from an out wide fell kindly for man of the match Harris to finish from close range. In the last 16, Honiton will again be on their travels into Cornwall, this time meeting Sicker from St Austell. Sidmouth went out of the competition following a 4-2 defeat away to the second rivals, Elberton Villa. A mistake at the back gave Elberton the chance to take the lead in the 12th minute, and the Vikings were two goals behind after half an hour when the ball was given away in midfield. A brighter start in the second half got Sidmouth back in the game through a Craig Vale strike. He followed up a score when the goalkeeper parried a Liam Carey drive. A well-taken goal made on the break at 2-3-1 to Villa, and within 10 minutes to go, Sidmouth gave themselves hope when Corey Rogers played a 1-2 with Lewis Jagger Kane before hammering the ball home. Any chance of getting level were killed 3 minutes from the end, however, when Elberton took the score 4-2 from a penalty spot. Scorers for Elberton were Jack Alexander, Sam Hughes, Callum Merrin and Levi Landricum. After their crucial midweek league win over Bishop's Lynott, it was back down to earth for Axminster Town, who were knocked out of the League Cup 9-1 by West Division leaders Newquay. Meanwhile, Sidmouth are at the FA Vars action at home to Barnstaple Town and Honiton, certain entertain Stoke Gabriel and Torbay Police in the Peninsula League East match. Both have 3 p.m. kickoffs.
And now for news of what's on around East Devon over the week. So, St Peter's Church in Sidford, every Monday from 8:30 to 11:30, they offer a coffee area in the church where you can have fresh coffee, tea and cakes, and children are welcome. There's toys to play with, books and puzzle swap, bring and buy, and obviously everybody's welcome. On Thursday, the 24th of October, Woodlands Hotel is offering a forum coffee morning. Guests are welcome, or call our membership secretary 01395 579 100, and that coffee morning starts at 10 o'clock. Sidmouth Museum in Church Street have organised a guided Eastern town walk, and that's 10:30 to until it finishes, really, and that costs £2.50 per person. Under 16s go free, and it says here that the guides are very knowledgeable and the walks aren't too strenuous. So, oh, there it is, it takes around 2 hours. So 10:30 till about 12:30. And Sidmouth Society of Artists are meeting at the Conservative Club at Radway at 2 o'clock. Again, this is Thursday, the 24th of August, October. And there will be an artist demonstration by Amelia Webster, and she's going to focus on charcoal portrait from life. Visitors are welcome at £3, and there will be refreshments. At Kennaway House on Coburg Road, Sidmouth, between 2 o'clock and 4, is Burns, Hampton and Littlewood will be doing an antiques valuation afternoon. There's no fees or obligation appraisal. Pop along with your valuables and they'll chat to you about them. If you can't do that but you'd like to get in touch, then contact them on 01392 413100. And finally, on Thursday the 24th of October, the Sid Vale Folk Choir meet at the dance studio in the Unitarian Old Dissenting Meeting House in Sidmouth. And they meet at 7:30 till 9 o'clock at night. On Friday, the 25th of October, the film Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice will be at the Seton Gateway Theatre Company. And it says about Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, three generations of the Dietz family return home to Winter River after an unexpected family tragedy. So if you're interested in tickets, you can contact them on 01-297-625-699. And on Tuesday the 29th of October, which I think is half term, there's A Guide in the Hide for Kids at Seton Wetlands. Starts at 10 o'clock and it costs £2. If you want to email them, it's wild@eastdevon.gov.uk. And finally, an article written by the journalist Sam Wiley Harris, and it's about pest control. And it says, Sam Wiley Harris learns some home hacks to help you keep those unwelcome guests at bay. Autumn can bring on a desire to hunker down and start getting cosy at home. So it's only natural some unwanted house guests might try to get in on the act too, making their way inside our homes to shelter from the cold and damp, especially with spider mating season continuing. Despite most autumn pests causing no harm to humans, they can be a nuisance and if left alone for too long can ruin food, clothes and plants. So it's best to deal with them on first sighting, says Laura Marsden, a cleaning expert at Marigold. Here, Laura highlights the four most common pests to look out for this time of the year. Moths. With wool coats, jumpers and scarves coming out of storage and seeing the light of day once the autumn chill arrives, it's important to prevent moths from ruining them. Moths feed on the proteins found in natural fibres like wool, and they especially love dark, undisturbed corners, says Laura. To combat any possible moth infestation, empty your wardrobe or drawers and vacuum them. She suggests making sure you wipe down the insides with soapy water, using a microfiber cloth which can remove tiny dirt particles hidden in the microscopic cracks on practically every surface for a deep and thorough clean. And finally, mix water and a few drops of cedar essential oil in a spray bottle and spritz the inside of your wardrobe or drawers. Moths hate the smell, but it smells great for us. Laura says it's also important to make sure clothes are clean before putting them back into your wardrobe. If an item can't be washed, she says to pop it in a zip seal food bag and leave it in the freezer for at least 24 hours. Houseplant pests, if you've made the most of the summer weather and put the houseplants outside to soak up the sun, it's vital to check them for pests once you bring them back inside, says Laura. The warmth of our homes can encourage some houseplant pests to become more active in autumn, she adds. She says to look out for aphids and spider mites. If you spot any, act quickly and mix a drop of eco-friendly washing up liquid with water in a bowl, then wipe down the infected plant with a diluted solution using a microfiber cloth. Spiders. Spider mating season starts in early September and continue until November, although most active during October. These eight-legged creatures are friendly but do make a lot of cobwebs, and many dislike the idea of sharing their home with spiders. She explains that during autumn you may notice more spiders scurrying around your home as they come inside for warmth and to find a mate. If you're not a fan of spiders, There are ways to put them off entering your home before they mate and lay eggs. Spiders dislike strong scents, specifically peppermint. So try making a homemade spider repellent by diluting peppermint oil and spraying it around doorways or in the corner of windowsills. This will deter spiders from entering. Spiders feel at home in dark, hidden areas, so you could also ensure you open curtains and blinds fully to let lots of natural light into your home, suggests Laura, making it less appealing for them to settle in. Finally, ants. While you may think of ants as a summer pest, if the weather is mild, there's still a risk of an ant infestation in autumn. And once established, they can be tricky to eradicate, notes Laura. To deter ants, she says to keep food in airtight containers, especially sugary foods, which ants easily detect, and make sure you're wiping down any sticky jars like honey. And to make good use of your peppermint spray, a few spritzes of this natural repellent will help put ants off any scent trail too, and discourage them from entering your home. Part two of the news begins with Simon taking us to Axminster, Sue with news from Beer and Branscombe, June brings news from Sidmouth, and Diana will be visiting East Devon.
It's Simon again with news from Axminster. End of season awards celebrate success. Axminster Town Cricket Club celebrates its end of season success with an awards ceremony honouring its thriving players and dedicated supporters. The event took place at Cloakham Lawn Sports Centre on Sunday, October the 6th. Andrew Moulding, the club's figurehead, began the proceedings with a heartfelt speech commemorating the 60-year journey of the late David Pike, a cherished player, umpire and treasurer of the club, which was followed by a minute's silence in his memory. Chairman Alfie Raitt and President Percy Downton presented the trophies, which included the batting cup to Danny Larkham, the bowling cup to Alfie Raitt, and the new commercial cup for highest score to Danny Larkham. Owen Endicott bagged the Hanbury Trophy for the best bowling performance, while Brad Conway won both the Cavalier Shield for League Player of the Year and Players' Player. Other notable awards included the All-Rounder Trophy to Owen Endicott, the Neville Pritchard Fielding Trophy to Aaron Conway, and the Burt Pike Cup for the Most Improved Senior Player to Aaron Conway. The Dick Bird Cup for Clubman of the Year went to Dave Pike, and the Duck Trophy was awarded to Peter Kai. Axminster Community Pool faces unsuccessful £150,000 bid. Flamingo Pool, a self-funded charity community pool, has recently been informed that a bid for £150,000 applied for by the management team has been unsuccessful. The grant will have aided operation of the pool's facilities, which directly support individuals and communities with critical needs and services, addressing physical and mental health issues such as disability, addiction and dementia. Unfortunately, overall it was deemed that the Flamingo Pool does not meet all the necessary criteria for the grant. The trustees, the Flamingo Pool team and supporters strongly believe that the pool meets all these requirements and benefits the local community massively in every health aspect, especially disability and inclusive swimming. A spokesperson for the Flamingo Pool team said the grant was crucial. We have 27-year-old failing boilers which need immediate replacement and a monumental cost of £100,000. Had this application been successful, the problem would have been solved, and it is the Flamingo Community Pool faces a very tough time ahead. If you wish to ask the team more about the grant refusal or what you can do to support the team, then please ring 01 297 358 00. That's 01297 358 00.
Hello, this is Sue again with notes from Beer and Branscombe. Pupils visit movie filming on location. Key Stage 2 pupils from Beer Primary School were allowed onto the set of Houseful 5, a new international Bollywood movie being shot in Sidmouth and Beer. KS2 had an unexpected treat this afternoon on Beer Beach when they went to see some of the filming for the Bollywood blockbuster Houseful 5. The executive producer arranged for the choreographer to come over and teach the children some dance moves before that were being used in the film. This week, filming for Houseful 5 moved to Beer, East Devon. East Devon District Council posted on Facebook this week to say that 4-strip car park, Beer, 10 parking spaces, will be completely closed from Thursday the 10th of October until Friday the 18th of October. A section of Beerhead car park also will be closed. This closure will also take place from Thursday the 10th until Friday the 18th. The spokesman said, "This is for a private hire and we thank you for your patience while we accommodate this booking." Central Long Stay car park, 171 parking spaces, is not affected by this booking and will remain open as usual. Shooting started on the beach, where pupils from Beer Primary School were taught some moves. On October the 3rd, a large film set was spotted being set up at the Harbourview Hotel for the shooting of this new international Bollywood movie, Houseful 5. Read more, Sidmouth Pictures show filming starting for this film. A section of Manor Road car park was also cordoned off until October the 13th to allow crews to park various vehicles used for the production. The film is called Sanjid Nadiwala's Houseful 5, a Bollywood movie directed by Taram Manskukhani. The Film Critic Company, IMDb, said that the release for the film is June 2025. See more on the IMDb website.
Hello, this is June with part two of the Sidmouth News. Journalists host a creative writing workshop. A creative writing taster session is set to take place in Sidmouth. The workshop, led by journalist and writing tutor Maria McCarthy, will be held on Tuesday, November 19th, 2024, at Kennyway House, Coburg Road, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. The session, costing £18, is designed to help writers of all levels feel relaxed and confident while providing practical exercises to boost creativity and writing skills. There will be a break for refreshments and writing-related chat. Maria said, "Writing can be a very solitary activity, and it can be fun and inspiring to join a class, learn new skills, and connect with like-minded people. I encourage group participants to share their work, but there's absolutely no pressure to do so if you would rather not." Maria, who has taught at Bristol and Bath universities, hopes to hold more workshops in 2025. Those interested in learning more can contact Maria at maria@mariamccarthy.co.uk or visit her website. Grants for voluntary organisations. Sidmouth Town Council is offering grants to voluntary organisations. The authority has invited applications for its Community Small Grants Scheme. Last year, the Council awarded more than £22,000 to a record number of organisations, benefiting both younger and older residents in the Sid Valley. All applications for the 2025-2026 financial year will be considered at a Council meeting in January. To be eligible for a grant, applications must meet specific criteria. These include promoting community well-being, enhancing or preserving the town's heritage, contributing to economic viability, improving community cohesiveness, and being inclusive to a wide range of beneficiaries. Applications must also contribute to the town's cultural life and support organisational or environmental sustainability. Voluntary organisations interested in applying can download the application form from www.sidmouth.gov.uk. Alternatively, forms are available from the Town Clerk at Woolcombe House, Woolcombe Lane, Sidmouth. The completed applications must be submitted by Monday, December the 9th. For more information, contact Sidmouth Town Council on 01395 512 240 or email town.clerk@sidmouth.gov.uk. Project Food to host quiz and curry night. A charity is set to host a fundraising quiz and curry night in Sidmouth. Project Food is holding the event on Friday, November the 29th at the Woodlands Hotel, Sidmouth, to raise money for its food education charity. The night will feature a quiz competition, a two-course curry meal, and a raffle draw. All proceeds will go to Project Food, which is based in East Devon. The charity provides tailored support to help individuals and families improve their diets, promoting better physical and mental health. A spokesman for the charity said, "Your participation and support will make a significant difference in the lives of those we serve." The evening promises to be fun-filled with opportunities to test your knowledge on a range of topics and compete for prizes. The event is set to commence at 6:30 p.m. Tickets cost £30 per person, and for more information, please contact Kerry Morgan on 01297 631 782 or email kerry@projectfood.org.uk. Halloween Tales at the Library. Sidmouth Library will host a family Halloween storytelling session. The event will take place on Saturday, October the 26th from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Experienced storyteller Janet Dowling, who has been telling tales for more than 20 years, will lead the session. She said scary stories are good for children to hear. It gives them the chance to feel fear and begin to learn how to deal with it, so that next time they experience fear in real life, they are better prepared and don't have panic attacks. But don't worry, all the stories will be gentle and scary ones suitable for 6 to 10 year olds. Sidmouth Library Supervisor Hannah said, "We always enjoy having storytellers at the library. The children enjoy listening to the language and the interactive parts. It encourages them to try their voices." The session will take place in the Children's Library with a suggested donation of £2 per family.
Hello, this is Diana with some news from East Devon. New HIV cases hit a record high in East Devon. New figures show the number of HIV diagnoses in East Devon reached a record high last year. Data from the UK Health Security Agency shows 11 people in East Devon were newly diagnosed with the disease last year, the highest figure since comparable records began in 2011. This was equivalent to 7 diagnoses per 100,000 people in the area, also the highest figure since 2011. Across England, the new diagnosis rate was 10.4 per 100,000 people in 2023, almost double the rate from 2020, when diagnosis dropped sharply because of the pandemic, and this was the highest figure since 2014. Dr. Tamara Jurektic, co-head of HIV at the UK SHA, said HIV can affect anyone, no matter your gender or sexual orientation. So please get regularly tested and use condoms to protect you and your partner's health. An HIV test is free and provides access to HIV PrEP if needed. If you do test positive, treatment is so effective that you can expect to live a long, healthy life, and you won't pass HIV on to partners. PrEP is a drug taken either daily or before and after sex that can block HIV if it gets into the body. Nationally, 96,562 people took PrEP last year, including 103 in East Devon. Water Firm's £17 million penalty. South West Water will have to pay a £17.4 million penalty as customer bills will be cut in 2025-26. In an annual performance report on water firms, Ofwat said companies had missed key targets on reducing pollution, leaks and supply interruptions, while customer satisfaction continues to fall. The total rebates will be calculated in December. Ofwat judges the performance of water companies in England and Wales each year against the stretching targets it set in 2019 for a five-year period until 2025. If they fail to meet these, Ofwat restricts the amount of money they can take from customers. Ofwat said the figures are provisional until it completes a new review process. Despite water companies committing to reduce pollution incidents by 30%, there has only been a 2% reduction. The companies are falling further behind on key targets for pollution and internal sewer flooding, the regulator added. And a report from the Environment Agency found that almost a fifth of water supplies are being lost through leaks before they even reach the customer's taps. A plane enthusiast brings history, airport history, to life. A luncheon club enjoyed a talk on the history of Exeter Airport in World War II. The East Devon Luncheon Club was treated to an engaging talk by aircraft enthusiast Chris Wiseman at the Victoria Hotel. He delved into Exeter Airport's development as an RAF base before and during World War II. Many members were reportedly unaware of the airport's history, particularly the role played by the Polish 307 squadron. Flying Hurricanes, these brave Poles helped defend the city and the southwest alongside British fighter pilots. With the USA joining the war, Exeter's runways were extended to accommodate bombers, and American air crews became a familiar sight in the area. Many of these servicemen married British women, creating lasting international bonds. The airfield also became a safe haven for damaged bombers returning from raids from France. Mr. Wiseman also revealed that the Victoria Hotel itself had served as a hospital for wounded air crew. Off duty, the crews would frequent the George and Dragon pub in Cliff St. George, leaving their mark by signing the ceiling. Exeter still honours its Polish 307 squadron, which flew Bristol Beaux fighters. On July 30th, 1942, they famously attacked German Ju-80 bombers, saving Exeter from destruction. These bombers were part of Hitler's reprisal attacks on culturally significant towns known as the Baedeker raids.
So that's all the news we have for this edition. My thanks go to our readers, Simon Card, Sue Ball, June Brown and Diana Crowther, our registrars, June Duffy and Jackie Freeman, and also to our producer, Sam Clark. Thanks also to Archant Publications for use of their copy from their publications. We would be grateful if you could return your wallet promptly, and should you have any problems with the equipment, please contact Peter Eagles on 07 552 766 382. We suggest you open your curtains any time after 7:40 in the morning and close them around 6 in the evening. Just to remind anyone who wishes to access our recordings via Alexa, you need to say, "Alexa, turn on Talking Newspaper Skill." Alexa will ask you which talking newspaper you want to listen to. Reply simply by saying, East Devon Talking Newspaper. You can also access recordings via our website, www.eastdevontalkingnewspaper.co.uk. Simply click on the tab Latest News. The website has a text-to-speech function. There is also a national talking newspaper app available for smartphones and iPads. Simply download the talking newspaper from the App Store, where you can access over 200 regional newspapers. So, once again, our team has thoroughly enjoyed reading the news to you, and you'll hear from us again on the 10th of December 2024. Until then, I'd like to say goodbye and send you early wishes for a very happy Halloween.